thinking maybe I should. I can live in your past. I am free now to wonder. I'm free to go fast. There's a piece of our struggle at the bottom of the sea. It will live there forever. Preserve the salt and deity.
And that was The Dirt by Glutenhead. That song is a trip, is how I would describe it. You should, I don't think you can hear the music on the board through on your end, but yeah, look it up.
Sometimes I can, it's weird. Your configuration is a bit spicy. I don't know.
It's shrug spicy. Emoji. Yeah, that's shrug about emoji. The right answer. Yeah,
I love it. Okay, well, it was a wild ride because it's like a collective. It's sort of genre bending. Very queer. I loved it. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, now before we get to dropping the F-bomb at the Tony Awards or how Deliveroo and HBO are giving back to the community, I teased the story a couple of times about how a grumpy old man made a 9-year-old girl cry. Now, this grumpy old man, I'm not going to name him because he has a son with the same name, and a number of news agencies have named this grumpy old man, and people have been very loudly harassing what they believe is this grumpy old man only, but it was actually the fully innocent son thereof. So we're not going to name him. I will just refer to him throughout as Grumpy Old Man. Although if anyone is really, you know, interested, just Googling it should result in that information. So anyway, last week, in a very innocent game, there was a district-led event where they were just doing sports. Just, you know, high school, not high school, elementary school sports. That was it. It was just before beginning grade 4 and grade 5. So it was the grade 4 and grade 5 girls' shot put. Okay. It was a tense lineup. The scores were all over the place.
I forgot that existed.
Yeah, that schools made people throw things and shot put. Yeah, absolutely.
Make heavy things as far as you can, yeah.
Yeah, throw this heavy thing. Anyway. So there were these you know, 9-year-old girls, and everyone's met a 9-year-old girl. You know, you'd have to live under a very strange rock to never have met a 9-year-old girl. So anyway,
well, presumably the audience themselves was at some point in time 9.
Yes, and met their peers, exactly.
Their contemporaries,
you know.
Yes.
Exact contemporaries. That's a great way of saying it. It makes it sound like they're all artists. All of our audience are artists. But yes, no, so they are there. It's a school sports day. These 9-year-old girls are lining up to throw a heavy thing. And there's a girl in front, and she throws the heavy thing, and there's a, you know, spattering of applause in the way that you can expect of a large district school event. Mm-hmm. And then as this next girl goes up, I'm not going to name her either on account of the privacy, the grumpy old man goes up and Now, there are two sides of the story here, understandably. There's the perspective of who I have dubbed as Grumpy Old Man, and the perspective of the mothers of the child that was brought to tears. The quote from the child brought to tears, and I think the school board, and the fact that they had to move the event halfway across the darn field away from the grumpy old man goes a long way to sort of showing where the truth fell on this spectrum of two things. But essentially, he is accused of screaming at onlookers and saying things to the tune of, "Get that boy off the field." He was asking why there is a boy or a trans kid competing against these girls. He was the grandfather of one of the girls that had just thrown a heavy thing and was determined to know why a trans kid was able to compete against his granddaughter. Now, it's worth noting that this 9-year-old girl that was brought to tears is not trans. Had a pixie cut. That's it. Slightly, you know, pixie cut looking hairstyle. That's enough for this man to interrupt the whole proceedings. Apparently, the competition ground to a halt whilst he demanded, amongst things, he's quoted as demanding certification to prove that this child is. When asked if he needed to see the child naked to verify, he said, no, a certificate is sufficient, is what he's accused of saying. He denies all of this.
What does that mean?
Well, I know. It's blatantly, absolutely ridiculous. And I think that's why I wanted to bring it up today, because it is frankly outrageous. It is outrageous. He claims in conversation he had with the local news organization, Castanet, he said that he went up and quietly had a word with the official, asking if this was a co-ed, and asking to verify if there were boys competing against this competition. Now, if that was the case, I suspect that the girl all the way over there throwing a heavy thing would not have heard him, would not have started crying, and would not have led the school board to move the event halfway across the darn field away from him. So, you know, they're politely having a chat in the ear of an official doesn't bear out in the many other statements that have come out from this event.
Yeah, this isn't even Rashomon at this point in time, if you're familiar with Rashomon. The Rashomon effect is that people will recount a story so that they are cast in a positive light. And usually when you get a Rashomon event, you'll get like 7 people or whatever telling the events. And the literal sequence of events that happened and in what order will be the same, but the tone or the meaning or the implication will be different. So whenever you get one event where everyone's telling completely different sequence of events, at least one person is just lying.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashomon is usually just people make themselves look more innocent than they really were. But if you have like the officials and the parents and the audience, because there is, you know, presumably hundreds of witnesses saying something completely different, then yeah, no, this is not just he felt he was misinterpreted. This is he was, yeah, just.
No, he has been dragged over the coals, understandably, for making a 9-year-old girl cry for just having a pixie cut. It is pretty outrageous. Apparently, his wife was yelling at the mothers, calling them, amongst other things, genital mutilators and groomers. Obviously, not remotely a scrap of truth to those allegations. The grandmother denies these allegations in much the way that her husband denies interrupting the proceedings. There is a statement that got issued by the Central Okanagan Public School Board, and it goes on to read, after the recent incident at a district-level event in the community where the behavior of adults negatively impacted young students, the Board of Education for Central Okanagan Public Schools reaffirms its commitment to safe and inclusive places to learn and work. It goes on in quite a bit of depth, talking about how it's the fifth largest school. It goes on to say that our district policies against bullying, harassment, and discrimination align with the BC Human Rights Code, so that people can learn and work without fear of discrimination based on race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, and any other aspect of their individual identity. We believe that our district's culture is a large part of why we're among the best performing school districts in Canada, for one simple reason. When individuals feel safe, feel the safety of belonging, they are ready to learn. Now, they are investigating this. I believe there are measures being put in place to effectively ban Grumpy Old Man from attending any events at the school ever since. But why I wanted to bring it up is this Grumpy Old Man allegedly felt compelled or safe enough in that environment to not bring this up with people afterwards, but allegedly interrupt the entire proceeding, make a 9-year-old girl cry, which is outrageous, although I think a lot of things could make 9-year-old girls cry, but I don't think, you know, yelling at them is a great way
Depends on the 9-year-old girl.
You know what I mean? I've met 9-year-old girls.
Tough.
They are yeah, they you
to
know,
me
they
the whole thing about this is the sort of cognitive negligence of forgetting that heterosexual tomboys still exist. And actually most of the tomboys that I knew when I was young grew up to be just straight girls. Very feminine straight girls in adulthood, too. I don't know. The whole thing is peculiar. You know, I think quietly pulling somebody aside and being like, like, that's the way to go, not causing a scene.
Yeah. You know, look, if
not even to say that short hair makes you a tomboy. I'm just saying that tomboys do exist.
You know,
and I think people have forgotten that. It's weird. It's so weird.
And I think this is why queer folks are trying to ring the alarm bells. We're like, look, obviously, trans folks are being targeted and harassed. But if you're a boyish-looking woman, good luck. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's really where it is. It's a very slippery slope.
Or a delicate-looking boy.
Or a delicate-looking boy. You know, if we're policing gender identity, well, it's not just queer folks affected by that. It's anyone who can be perceived as queer. That
he's not gay. Subject. He's just a bookkeeper. Like
European, but exactly.
It's I mean, one of the most famous incidents of homophobia ending in a death in Ottawa was a heterosexual man who just happened to have nice shoes and fabulous hair.
Yeah, exactly, and it's outrageous because I think, you know, there is a way if he had gone quietly enough and asked just the question, is this competition co-ed? He could have come across as just someone, grumpy old man who wasn't paying enough attention to the itinerary. No one would have been insulted by that. No one would have cried.
Just a person with questions.
Exactly. Yeah. But when it's enough of a ruckus that they have to move the event away from you, you know, it's one of those things where I think it's funny. I got quoted. We have a good friend of ours who listens to the show regularly. And we were discussing the mayoral election in Toronto. And she said that it made her laugh when I referred to former police chief Saunders during the Bruce MacArthur murders. And I said, I don't have anything nice to say, so I will say nothing. And I think that's advice that pertains to now as well. If this gentleman, is concerned, raise it after the fact. You don't need to interrupt things, you know?
Yeah, like, people have the right to disagree or have different opinions, but you don't have the right to harass people.
No, and make
like legally, you don't have the right to harass people.
I dramatically sigh at this. It's just so gosh damn ridiculous. Anyway, he is denying the allegations. The Kelowna RCMP detachment are investigating after the flood of.
If it was a sports event, I guarantee that there were at least 30 cameras on at that time recording.
Oh yeah, we're talking cell phone cameras.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We also know how everyone loves to see a Karen or a Ken kicking off, and you know they're always going to divert their camera attention to that. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll see. We haven't named him on accounts of his ostensibly innocent son with the same name being caught up in all of this drama.
I also don't like internet justice. If there's something to be done, the local authorities can take care of it.
Exactly.
We don't need people harassing him over the internet. That doesn't win.
No, it doesn't help anything. And honestly, I just hope that if you are going to a sports event where 9-year-olds are throwing heavy things, and you're thinking, this is a girls competition.
Yeah.
That one there looks a bit boyish. Keep that thought to yourself, you know?
Also, 9-year-old girls are on average larger.
Yeah, and they don't need grumpy old men's opinions about their looks. They hit
puberty first. So yeah, even if it was a trans girl, she actually would have been at a disadvantage at the age of 9.
Yeah. Well, she turned 10 the next day.
Oh, well.
What a great way to ruin your birthday as a 10, you know, about to turn 10. And you're a national news story because a grumpy old man yelled at you and made you cry. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And yeah, Kelowna, that's where that one came up. So we'll dive into that and some of the other stories just after this. We've got a song here that's a bit of a lighter speed than Dirt by the Gluten Heads. This is Turning Up by GR Grit. And when we come back, we have some international stories before we shuffle along to the next show. Coming up, actually, just to give a bit more detail, I think I mentioned earlier the Tony Awards dropping the F-bomb, or rather the winner in the Tony Awards dropping the F-bomb. And I wanted to touch on companies like HBO Max and the other one, Deliveroo, going things about the right way for Pride. Anyway, this is Turning It Up by GR Grit, and we'll be back just after this.
Mm-hmm. I've been stressed, kind of obsessing over her and them. I move my body in between and feel them pressing in. They ask me what I like with eyes against me up and down. She told me, don't be shy, she likes the way I'm blushing now. They got me living for the weekend, leaning into how I'm feeling, and I don't see it as a weakness, no. Oh, hot and heavy with my breathing, not a second left for sleeping. There's a moment and we seize it, let's go. Oh, some say keep it down, but they're not living it up, baby. Over my heart, you've been faced. You're feeling all those feelings, need to get them off your chest. You say you're done with your excuses and putting our love to the test. I'm getting your best. Some say keep it down, but then I'll living it up, baby.
Welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And now onto something totally different speed. Michael Arden, who won the Tony Award for Best Direction of a Musical, He recently was directing the revival of Parade. Parade is about Leo Frank, who was convicted in 1913 of rape and murder of a young woman, Mary Fagan. It was completely innocent of it. It was a false conviction. His sentence was eventually then reduced, but he was murdered by a lynch mob by neo-Nazis. He was... Jewish, and there was a lot of anti-Semitism in it. It's a fantastic play.
Neo-Nazis?
Well, I suppose at the time they were actual Nazis. Yeah. They were,
in the 1930s? I don't think they were Nazis yet.
1913.
Pardon, which year?
1913.
That's 20 years before the Nazis.
No, it's the Nationalist Socialist Movement, which would then later become
Nazis.
Yeah, it
just would have been German white supremacists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, before they organized. Yeah,
that's splitting hairs. Exactly. Go on. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, that was the play. It's if you're in, you know, if you're in New York, definitely worth going to go check it out. But what's worth noting was CBS, the television channel that was broadcasting the Tony Awards. For those who are very unfamiliar, it's essentially the National Awards for Broadway productions, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. Seeing
I
no
don't
correction.
Know. I other than Eurovision, I care not one whit for award shows.
You won not one whit yes. for award shows. Anyway, but he is quoted as saying, "Growing up, I was called the F word more times than I could remember, and all I can say now is that I am a I'm not going to say it F word with a Tony." And he was bleeped. Would you have bleeped it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's causing a bit of a debate because it's a he was reclaiming the word, you know. In
the thing
terms
is,
of the,
he was reclaiming the word, but does that give him the right to force everyone listening into reclaiming it along with him? Because there are people out there who are gay men, or bisexual men, or just zesty straight boys who
pixie cut girls
who. Had that word used against them and they don't like it and they don't want to hear it in public. They have baggage with that word. And the problem with reclaiming a word is, first of all, just because you've reclaimed it doesn't mean you've erased the history. And unless you do a national survey where a two-thirds supermajority agrees on reclaiming the word, I don't think that you can make that executive decision on behalf of everyone else. There are other groups that have gone through this as well.
We ourselves have caused a conversation. You know, I am frequently referring to folks as queer or queer culture. I think I've probably mentioned it 27 times in today's show. Are certainly people who for whom queer was a derogatory term.
I will admit that I don't like it, but I acquiesce because society has embraced it. So who am I? But
for me, it's out of the academic study. It's the non-normative.
Queer as in abnormal. And there is sort of a queer study of, like, you know, the whenever you have a my favorite version of queer studies is like you have these scientific experiments that show that women are more attracted to women who are in red dresses. Well, OK, well, what about. Let's take all the men who are most attracted to women in green dresses and see what we can find about them. They are not the statistical majority. They're the second or third class. What do we know about them? They're the quote-unquote weird ones, but they're not really weird because you're just talking about dress
colors.
Out
of the majority. Yeah, exactly.
Out of the majority. Yeah. That kind of – and that actually is technically the term that they are using now. They call that queering a study or taking the queer approach to a study. And it really is just – the alternative viewpoint, and it doesn't have to be, you know, 2SLGBTQIA+. It's just take the statistical majority, and most scientific papers really just care about that,
and then
let's
look
study
at
everything else.
Look at the other bit.
Now, even if the other bit adds up to being like 80%, and that 20% is just like there's 100 options, so 20% is actually a pretty big slice of the pie, but like what about everyone else? That style of queer studies, I'm like, yeah, no, that's a perfectly good use of the term queer, but queer as in, like, you know, gay. I don't know, there are people who have issue with that, but yeah,
you would have bleeped the dropping the F word during a broadcast.
yeah
Yeah, yeah, no, probably. I get it.
Well,
yeah.
unless it were after 8 p.m., at which point, who cares? I wouldn't bleep anything at all.
Okay, that's true. I mean, it may well have been. I think that's part of the thing as well. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I thought about playing the clip here on the radio, but I think you bring up a good point. We don't know who's listening, and we don't know for whom that had been used as a weapon. So we
now ourselves... that's an in-conversation. You and I have used the word in question.
Yeah, yeah, to many each other times. Privately in a reclaimed sense.
Yes,
yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll have this and more news next week. We didn't get to Deliveroo or HBO, but they give money to good things. So that was the gist of that story. All right. We have run out of time on today's show. Brooklyn Duran has dropped her new album. And I was going through and I was like, oh my God, I love this track, which is Wasted My 20s. I then later on realized that when she dropped it as a single, I also loved it then. So we are listening again to Wasted My 20s by Brooklyn Duran, but she
just
has a new album.
Just as a little aside before we go, do you have a favorite short film?
Short film?
Do you have a favorite short film?
I can't say I do, not off the top of my head.
Oh.
What's yours?
Eagles are turning people into horses.
Okay. People will have to Google that. Eagles turning people into horses. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
A broken heart in an empty bar, playing love songs, baby. Too bad they'll never be about you now. Three beers in the parking lot, we were smoking pot that the door guy gave me. I guess I'm chasing dreams without you now. Used to have me on my knees, scrolling past you.
If you want to explore unique perspectives that are rarely expressed in mainstream media, you are listening to the right channel. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.